This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Okay, can we please start the podcast, please? Can we please stop talking about the damn cookies?
So Kexi.com? You're talking about Kexi.com?
Yeah, but luckily nobody knows how to spell Kexi.
No, you can. It's K-E-K-S-I.
What is it?
K-E-K-S-I.com. The best Christmas cookies
you can
possibly...
It doesn't even have an X in it.
They have a Christmas cookie, Glenn, with an entire peppermint patty in the middle of it.
Oh, it's so good. All right, anyway. Get out of here, Pat.
See you later, Pat.
We don't want you on the show until at least maybe an hour into it. Today's show is great. The podcast you're going to love from start to finish because we don't care.
Yeah, right. It's the end of the year for us.
And there's some really big stuff, too, that, you know, we talk about, like this Kennedy thing. What the White House said yesterday is unbelievable about the Kennedy assassination. We get to that and so much more in today's podcast. Here it is.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. So I don't know if this is too incriminating for the CIA and the FBI, but remember we told you last week that Thursday, all of these JFK documents are supposed to be released. Now, they were supposed to be released in the 1990s. Then Reagan said, no, we're going to give it another 20 years.
Now, what would Reagan have anything to do with it in the 1990s?
What do you mean?
Did he say this in the 90s? Or are you saying it was...
No, in the 1990s, during his...
this is where I think I'm falling down here.
Was it 82 or 92?
He'd be done in 89. He was president.
So, so I think it was must have been 82. And he comes out and he said, these should be sealed for another 20 years. And so then they, I think it was George Bush, and he said, they should be sealed again until 2019. And, or 2017. And the Trump said...
Trump made a big deal about it.
Yeah, they should be released. He didn't issue an executive order on it. He just said they should be released. It was Joe Biden that came out and said they should be released. And they said, because of COVID, we need extra time. And he said, you got a year.
Year, it's been 50 years.
I know. So the extra year expired yesterday. And when they didn't release them... The White House had to say either you release them or buy more time. So there's about 5,000 documents that are left. Okay. The CIA vetoed. Now, this means that the head guy of the CIA from Kennedy on knows what's in these documents. Pompeo knows what's in these documents. Okay. They are going to, listen to this. These will remain classified at least until next year, according to the White House memo, quote, to protect against an identifiable harm to the military defense, intelligence operations, law enforcement, and the conduct of foreign relations that is of such gravity that it outweighs the public interest in disclosure.
That's such bull crap. Come on.
I don't think so.
Come on.
I don't think so.
Danger are we in?
Okay, here is the...
50 years later.
We're not in danger.
60 years later.
We're not in danger. They are in danger.
Right, yes. So that much is true.
Here is the... I think the nicest way to look at this, that Lee Harvey Oswald was, and we have pretty good evidence, that Lee Harvey Oswald was a CIA operative on other things. and they were involved in trying to overthrow Cuba. And the nicest way to look at this for the CIA, giving them all the benefit of the doubt, is they had no idea that Oswald was going to do this, and it was the biggest intelligence failure in the history of our nation. Okay, but we're so used to intelligence failures now, that's not enough to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the worst case scenario is that this was a CIA operation. This was coordinated through our Justice Department and our CIA operating here in the United States. But see, that's not even that bad, because that's 50 years ago. They're doing it now and people don't seem to care.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that our government was doing? Because I personally believe the way they are setting this up, you know, it doesn't make conspiracy theories go away. It makes it worse. When they come out, it's one thing to say, we're going to hold them back. Then you speculate. It's another to say, I'm going to hold them back to protect against an identifiable harm to the military defense, intelligence operations, law enforcement, and the conduct of foreign relations that is of such gravity that it outweighs the public interest in disclosure.
It's a remarkable statement.
That's a remarkable statement. That means it is so massive that it would affect everything today.
What could that be?
What could that be?
Certainly not going to tamp down conspiracy theories, that's for sure.
No. I mean, for the first time in my life, I believe, yeah, I think the CIA was involved in killing him. I never believed that. Never.
You believe it or you're suspicious of it?
I could find myself right. Believing it. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be hard to push me into that. Not that I would say I die on that until I have the evidence. But I was as sure as you could be without saying I'd stake my life on it. I was as sure as I could be that Oswald was alone.
Right.
I'm not sure. Mm. He may have been alone. I don't believe the shooter in the trees and all of that stuff, but I have no idea anymore. And I'm not sure that Jack Ruby was just a guy that was so upset he came and shot him. I do believe that looks like a cover-up now, and it always has, but with this statement, if they say this 50 years later,
what could
they
it be?
Absolutely killed him.
I always think, too, one of the reasons why I've been a little suspicious of the standard theory here is that Arlen Specter was involved in investigating it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Arlen Specter sucked so badly that he couldn't have possibly done something right in his life.
Yeah. So, it is amazing to me. It is amazing.
That's an incredible statement.
Incredible. Last night on Tucker Carlson, he obviously has some inside information of some sort. And he said that his source said that everything you think you know is wrong.
Wow. Just overall or just with JFK?
JFK. Okay. Now think about this.
Mm-hmm.
This makes what the CIA and intelligence and justice did to Donald Trump a much more plausible, because they didn't kill him, but they killed his presidency. They colluded to kill his president, to stop him because he was going to do something that they said cannot be done. We cannot have him do whatever it is. And I think it starts with the Paris Accords. But it makes that baby stuff compared to stopping a president by killing him.
Mm-hmm.
It's also one of those things that we always believe these things are in the past. Right. We always look back at history and are like, oh, well, there's this really shady activity going on in the government. Thank God we got that cleaned up.
They're still doing it. Pompeo knows what this is. He was the one who says, no, don't release him. In his term, So Pompeo knows what this is. If you're not willing to expose it, then you're not cleaning it up. You're not stopping it.
Do we know what agency Rafael Cruz worked for?
Oh,
that's
man.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes the one ultimately
responsible. Let's
let's make sure we find that out.
I totally forgot about that.
Isn't that crazy?
What a weird time. Yeah, that's fascinating.
It's crazy.
Okay, let's go to the worst case scenario here for a second. We don't even know what it is. Let's say somehow the CIA is involved in the actual murder.
Planning.
We have evidence, mm-hmm. and that's what's in these files, is why they keep not avoiding releasing them. Would you advocate they get released? Should we know that? Because, I mean, I think there's an argument to be made with if that's true, that statement has some merit, right? Like, you'd say, wait a minute, if our law enforcement murdered a president, mm-hmm. what would that do to society? What would that do to all sorts of
things? Well, it would expose what they're doing currently.
Yeah.
You know, why out of all the names that have to be wiped off of buildings, how come the J.F. Hoover, the Edgar Hoover building is still named after J. Edgar Hoover?
That's a good point.
I mean, even the left, you know, tried to smear him by saying he was a transgender, you know, he was dressing up and whatever, you know, now that's like a reason to keep the name on the
building.
That's
probably why they won't take it off.
But that guy, we have presidents who have said they were afraid of what he would expose. We have them on the record, and yet his name's still on there. Oh. Why? Is that a warning to people who are at the highest levels? Look, we really haven't changed all that much. I mean, with this statement, by the way, the conduct of foreign relations that is such gravity that it outweighs the public interest.
Yeah.
So was Russia involved? No. Was Cuba? I mean, are we worried about the Cuban relationship? I mean, I know Biden is, but what could that possibly be? We had a guy on who was high up in the CIA, was part of the planning of Bay of Pigs. And he was on, what, about a year ago? And he's like this brilliant 80-year-old guy. And he said, CIA was all over the Oswald thing. Their fingerprints are all over that. Absolutely. And everybody who was in the CIA at the time knew. I'm like, wait, what did you just say?
Did you say the Oswald thing? Is that how you referred to this moment?
This is such an amazing thing, too, because tonight at 5 p.m. Eastern, and it will be on the Blaze TV and also my YouTube page, youtube.com/Glenn Beck, you will see an auction of many of these items. I mean, You're going to see, I'm going to take you through a vault of the American Heritage auction house. They have 200,000 square feet of things that they're auctioning off. It's crazy. And I just take you to this one auction where Sputnik is for sale. A piece of the seat that JFK was killed in the car with his blood stains on it.
God.
Jack Ruby's wallet and
it's
everything.
It's
kind of dark. I got to say, I don't think I want to own that.
I'm not sure I'd have that in my house.
Yeah.
Hey, look at this.
No, but it's amazing history. The flag from the limousine.
Our Christmas centerpiece is part of the brain. I feel like it is a little, some of it can get dark.
It's amazing.
But it's for history museums.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I'll show it all to you. They have the phone that he was making phone calls to Marilyn Monroe on at Bing Crosby's. It's a red, white, and blue phone made just for him so it could be secure. He was supposed to stay at Frank Sinatra's house. And J. Edgar Hoover said, you can't do that. You can't do that. He's involved with the mob. You cannot do that. And so he's like, I want to go to Palm Springs. I got a hot girl out there I got to see. And Bing Crosby said, stay in my house. And so they put this phone next to his bed. And that was the phone call. I mean, it's amazing.
Incredible.
Incredible.
You can see all this stuff and see it all happen on the show tonight, right?
Yeah, and you can see I bid on... many things. many things. Did I get any of them or not? You'll see tonight.
And of course, we'd love you to subscribe to Blaze TV to check it out, blazetv.com/Glenn. However, you can also check it out for free on YouTube if that's your choice. Check it out, youtube.com/Glenn Beck, and that airs tonight. By the way, also airing tonight on Stu Does America, The Christmas Twist, the greatest Christmas movie of all time, starring Glenn Beck, Pat Gray, so many others. An incredible Jeffy.
You know, okay, so this one was made with like $45 in gum.
Well, we did not have a $45. That is false. Yeah, okay, we did not have $45 to spend on this movie.
I am going to fund a real Hallmark movie.
Like a Hallmark style movie.
Yeah, the next year, I want to do a real Hallmark movie, but I want, we've got to find a way to where we let the audience know we're with you. We know they're going to get together. But you could see the first, you know, $30 version of that, The Christmas Twist, tonight at 8 o'clock, only on Blaze TV.
How dare you disparage that fine piece of art? Think of what the auction.
It is a piece of something.
It is.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and we really want to thank you for listening. So a decade ago, I wrote a book about becoming George Washington. I had the audacity to begin the book by saying, "My name is Glenn Beck, and I am George Washington." Oh my gosh, what is that? What? I said that because I believe everyone has the potential for his kind of greatness. To become an indispensable man or woman. Today, I want to talk to you about a different George. This George lives in Bedford Falls, and we see him almost every Christmas. "Hello, my name is Glenn Beck, and I am George Bailey. I'm nothing special. I'm average. I'm flawed. I'm fallible. I'm emotional. I'm fat. I'm awkward. And I have dreams that I will never achieve. I got that in spades, man. I am George Bailey. But I believe you are George Bailey as well." This is what makes this movie so incredibly relatable. Because George Bailey could be any of us, and I contend is all of us. Like many of us, George Bailey's life, full of events he found challenging, oftentimes demeaning, personally unfulfilling. And even though he's willing to sacrifice his own happiness for the good of others, that is, in today's life, in today's world, heroic. He does it, and he moves on. Now, if Netflix made this film today, George would leave Bedford Falls and pursue his dreams, and with the help of a gay sidekick angel, obviously of another race, he would find the power within some organization that would help him overcome the evil old white man Potter and discover his fully realized self, and he would identify as some sort of an animal. But the original George Bailey from the Capra film, he's who we really are. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what background you have. I don't care where you are. You could be absolutely right now at the end of your rope, and you are hearing this by what you would think is a coincidence. You're ready to give up. You're ready. I can't do it anymore. And yet you're hearing this. George Bailey is not a hero because he built the skyscrapers and the bridges of his youthful dreams. He thought he was a failure because of that. He was a hero because of the daily sacrifices he made for his family, the building and loan customers, not the business, the customers, the town of Bedford Falls. He even sacrifices his own moment of sadness and depression to dive into the water and save Clarence, the angel, who he believes is drowning. Clarence shows George that while the price he paid for living his principles may have been costly, He was the one man who could pay it. He was the one man who could stand against the great tide of evil. Remember, this isn't just a story of a guy who makes a difference in people's lives. This is the guy who stood against evil. Remember what the town became? George may be a reluctant hero, but it was his moral character that sets him on a path of virtuous sacrifice. Very Christ-like qualities. Thoreau writes that the masses are leading lives of quiet desperation. But what you in this audience have proved to me, and I hope you prove it to yourself, is that thousands of people just like you, just like George Bailey, are living lives of quiet inspiration. It's you and millions like you who every day, being George Bailey, live your principles. And in turn, that's what makes life wonderful. Living a life of honor and integrity and humility. It's not going to make you millions of dollars. It's not going to result in your name being splashed across movie posters. But you will earn something far more enduring. The respect of those who care, you care about, and they care about you the most. So let me say something incredibly arrogant. Hello, my name is Glenn Beck, and I am George Bailey. And just like George Washington, I am the leader of men. I am fearless. I am the person others will aspire to be for generations. I am an indispensable man. Oh my gosh, how could he possibly say that? Because I believe you are too. So go ahead for just a second. Instead of thinking, oh my gosh, he's so arrogant for saying what I just said, say them out loud yourself with me. Say them out loud yourself. Do you even have the guts to say these things out loud? This is the season of belief. Do you believe in yourself? Do you believe that you make a difference, a big difference? Because you do. And if you happen to be one of those people that are listening by accident and you're like, you know, the world would be better without me. Say these things out loud because you are just as essential as George Bailey. I know you are. Because I have an understanding of what you have accomplished over the years. So repeat after me. My name is, state your name, and I am George Bailey. And just like George Washington, I am the leader of men. I am fearless. I am the person others will aspire to be for generations. And I know that I am an indispensable man. Say that. Say that every day. Say that until you believe it. And believe me, you say that every day, you will believe that. But you also have to see that everybody else has the same potential. So, Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls and Dallas. And Wichita and Orlando and Bismarck. Merry Christmas to even you, New York and Los Angeles. Merry Christmas to those who identify as Republicans or a Democrat or an Independent. Merry Christmas to liberals and conservatives. And Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, or Winter Solstice. But mostly Merry Christmas. Because this is the holiday that reminds us of how valuable we really are as individuals. This holiday reminds us that God Himself came down and sacrificed Himself and His Son to redeem us. Not reimagine us, not fundamentally transform us, but to redeem us, to clean us up. God Himself saw us as worthy of redeeming, not changing, redeeming each of us uniquely children of God. Say that out loud. I am a son or daughter of God. We'll throw around, we're all children of God, but have you actually understood what you're really saying? I am a son or daughter of God. With all of the royal heritage and holy pedigree made in his image. May I ask that over the next few weeks, will you make a covenant? Can we get together and use this holiday to begin the process of seeing ourselves for who we really are? Because if we do, we will change the way we relate to people. And we will also understand our own inherent power. We are truly citizens of a much higher kingdom. We are noblemen and noble women, gentlemen and gentle ladies, who God cares about and is constantly sending an angel to dive in before we jump into the river ourselves. And he does that as a way to remind us of who we really are and how much value you actually hold. If you were somebody that was standing at that bridge in your mind, I'm your fat Clarence. You are indispensable. And we have amazing work to do. It's going to be an honor to serve with you. Find joy and belief in the season.
You're listening to the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
So Patrick Gray is joining us from Pat Gray Unleashed.
Love that show.
And And
who won more in trivia today, by the way? Who won more in trivia?
Let me think. The Vikings.
The Vikings.
What's the record on more on trivia?
I think we're 6-6 right now.
Oh, really? Ooh, would you be above 6-6 if you had picked the Philadelphia Eagles to beat the New York Giants?
Yes.
Just want to make sure I understand that. Eagles are 12-1.
It's interesting you chose that specific game because, you know, we've lost six times. So it's interesting you picked the Philadelphia game.
Hey. So, can I tell you something? I was in a meeting yesterday, speaking of football just for a second. This company comes and they make first aid kits, really top shelf first aid kits. And they're like, we've reinvented the Band-Aid. And I'm like, what? And they're like, we've reinvented the Band-Aid. And they're showing all this incredible stuff. And the Band-Aid, they said, you've actually probably seen this. The Band-Aid strip that we use is actually, we developed something, and I said, not the strips on the arms of the NFL players. And they looked at me like crazy, and I said, I'm sorry, what? And they're like, yeah, no, that's it. We just didn't expect you to know that. I mean, it was amazing. Here's a group of guys here in America.
Have those long things.
On their elbows, you know? Yeah. They had them, and they were watching, and they're big fans of football, and they were watching, and they saw that the strips they used to have would kind of peel off, and they'd start to come off during the game.
Right.
And I was just saying to Rafe as we were watching a game, I said, what kind of strips are those that stay, that can take that pounding and stay?
Yeah.
I don't know why I even told you that story. It has no ending. It doesn't even have a point, which usually is the key to good stories. I mean, anyway, go ahead, play it. Go ahead, play it. No, I know the Hall of Fame thing is coming, Stu. Well, no, I see it in your eyes. Go ahead.
And there you have it. Another example of why Glenn Beck is in the Radio Hall of Fame.
And there you have it. So
great. Cut with a spoon style fork.
Cut with a spoon style fork.
What is a spoon style fork.
What would you call something like that?
I don't know.
I mean,
spork, spork would make sense. Although, in the context of a, I think it was a steak commercial.
Shut up.
Oh, people eat steak with a spork.
You could cut it with a spoon style fork.
I think the point was,
all right. Would you send somebody to my office, get the Hall of Fame award, and I just want to set it right here. Get theirs as well, and they can set theirs right in front of them.
Why are you trying to injure the Hall of Fame's reputation?
Okay. So, anyway, Pat, we have been talking the last few days what the biggest story of the year has been.
And oh, wow.
We think that it, you know, most likely is Roe versus Wade.
Oh, yeah.
Being overturned.
Yeah. But, so are you alleging that that will be deemed by the news services?
Oh, no. Flying crap about what they're saying. Don't. Did you see what's happening with the news people? All the news people that are now going in and saying, Elon Musk, he can't do that. He's banning reporters.
Incredible.
He can't do that. May I just say, Bowie, who is one of my favorite producers of all time, she spent her time overnight after she saw that, and she was like, and she put together a little montage here of the same reporters and the same kind of reporters and what they said when Jack was banning people. Listen.
Because Twitter is a private company, experts say the removal of the president for violating their rules is not a violation of the First Amendment.
Twitter is absolutely allowed to silence the president, as is any other social media platform that can make their own rules.
Judge James Donato noted that Twitter's a private company, not bound by the First Amendment.
The First Amendment only protects us from government censorship, not censorship by private entities. In this case, Twitter is a private entity. So the First Amendment really has no bearing at all.
Look, Twitter's a private company. You mentioned the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. They can do whatever they want. They can make something stricter than the First Amendment, and it's a private company.
So Noah, Elise notes, this is a private company. We hear a lot of free speech arguments here. This is not the government doing this. This is Twitter, a private company, doing this.
Twitter is a private company. It is absolutely up to them as to what content they put up on their website and what they don't.
Twitter's a private company. They can ban anybody they want.
Huh. Twitter is a private company. Facebook is a private company. Google and YouTube are private companies. They have the right to control what sort of content is on their platform.
Twitter has rules. They're a private company. You know, there are fancy restaurants that make a gentleman wear a coat and tie, but they have a right to have rules. Twitter has rules.
Twitter is a private company. It has terms and conditions of use. And if you violate those terms and conditions, you can be suspended temporarily or permanently, as they have done now.
Huh. That's weird. So the right now the media is saying that because they reported his location, his physical location and the physical location of his plane while in transit.
And he was being harassed.
And being big time
children.
Harassed.
And, yeah. And his children being followed.
Yeah.
That he's banned them because of that. And I just like to remind them, Twitter is a private company. And the First Amendment does not go to private companies.
By the way,
bunch of bullcrap.
I tend to agree with that analysis. In fact, I do think that both Jack and Elon can ban whoever the hell they want.
There is a slight addendum to that, sort of.
I agree with that, unless they are in bed with the federal government.
If the federal government is doing it and they're getting involved, that's a totally different situation.
Correct.
And we've obviously now uncovered a good amount of evidence that that was going on.
Wow.
Which, of course, they also denied at the time. You could build another
montage. They still deny.
Well, they act as if the Twitter files never released.
Never happened.
Can you think about it? Think of like all the big corporate scandals over the years. When the media can sink their teeth into all private communications from a company, that's what they did with Enron. Remember, they got all those communications from Enron. They were burn, baby, burn. And they went through and they analyzed every single one of them. They did report after report after report after report. They love looking into how executives are talking to each other. This, they have no interest in at all. No interest.
Mm-hmm. And it's probably the biggest story or the biggest impact. The company that had one of the biggest impacts in the decade And they have no interest in any of it. None.
The other thing they won't touch is TikTok's
Chinese
connections and well, it's a Chinese spy platform.
That is starting to change, though. I mean, now even Nancy Pelosi has apparently put the TikTok ban into this
coming
bill.
It should be banned from government agencies for sure. I mean,
shouldn't it? Look, you could argue, I think, very clearly that it should be banned.
Period. Period.
Like, they talk about this. The security experts talk about TikTok. That it is taking not only just the stuff you're doing on TikTok, but all of your keystrokes from your phone.
Yeah, it's
going
crazy.
Basically directly to the Chinese Communist Party. Mm-hmm. You are insane to have this thing on your phone.
And you know what? You tell a young person that. They don't care.
They don't care.
Man,
oh,
whatever.
Well, what am I doing? Well, yeah. I mean, forget about like, look, are you, first of all, your banking passwords, all of anything you're doing, if they're taking keystrokes, they have all of that. What could they do with that? I don't know. Would they target you? Maybe not. You know, but the other thing you have to think about, But secondly, like, the other thing you have to think about is like, what about a giant cloudburst style release where all of your private communications just get released all at once for everyone? Do you want that?
Is that the worst case scenario you can think of?
I mean, we could go into all sorts of.
Because why are they doing it?
Well, they talk about trying to influence the conversation here. They talk about
a side benefit.
National security concerns.
Side benefit. They don't have Google.
Yep.
Why is Google free? Google was free to gather intelligence and patterns, not for the government, but for artificial intelligence.
Mm.
So they have all of that information on the Chinese, but they don't have anything on the West. And Chinese and Western, we think radically differently. So they are gathering all of this information primarily to be able to create AI that can ultimately control the West.
Mm. Brilliant, really.
It's brilliant.
I will say, and I agree with you, that's a much bigger societal concern. But every person, every teenager you talk to, hey, should you have this on your phone? They don't care about that.
They don't.
They might very well care about all of their communications to their friends, all the things they've texted about their friends being released and accessible to every person on the planet, though.
Yeah.
And that is, in theory, a possibility.
It could happen.
And, you know, the Chinese Communist Party has a little bit of a pattern of desiring chaos in this country. I don't know if anyone's noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
Would it be a chaotic situation if something like that happened?
Isn't it weird? That's one of the things that I said for years. The operative word when this all starts to hit will be chaos. Mm-hmm. How many times do you hear people describing everything that's going on as absolute chaos?
A lot.
They are trying to create chaos.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep.
It is. I mean, it is nuts. Mm-hmm. The other thing, though, about this is what you said about nobody seems to care youth. I know people who are adults that have it and don't care. I know people. I mean, we talked about depression the other day. Do you know, Pat, that African Americans, the suicide rate is up 53%?
Wow.
53%. Okay. Mm. And these are all measured from about the time of the iPhone. We have done mass experiments on this society and on our children. We have no idea the ramifications of all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that it is changing the way we think. It is helping make us suicidal. It is having our kids not really talk and know how to talk to one another. We know that China is after the information. We know our own government is in on this information.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's indoctrination, and yet we still give it to them.
For what? Lip syncing videos?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously.
You know, what would you do if you didn't have those, though? Where would you be?
I met with the GlennBeck.com team yesterday, and they do the social, and I said, I want to change my social feeds next year. We'll still do all the stuff we do, but I want to put out, because TikTok in China is all about the incredible things that Chinese kids are doing. Our algorithm for our country is for stupid.
Yep.
Their algorithm brings to the top the brilliant. And so I've been searching for brilliant things, and I just want to change my feed into that. So,
more
you know,
of that stuff. Yeah.
More of that stuff. Even have you done this? I was really down the other day, and my wife was really down, so I just started looking for just babies laughing, and I just started sending them to her. That will make you feel so good.
Yeah.
It's just these little infants laughing, and it's hysterical. I mean, we can use these things. Unfortunately, we're not, but we can use them to do good.